are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you all the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, we will look back at the Pacers' 107-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Another fantastic night at the Fieldhouse, which is as exhilarating and entertaining as the road losses have been frustrating over the past 14 games now. The Pacers have alternated between wins and losses, and the bulk of that back and forth has been on the road and at home, at least lately, and that's for sure. Pacers looked borderline lifeless in Toronto on Sunday. That was not an issue against the Jazz, as they came out with strong effort, strong energy, and execution. Three things that normally add up to a winning effort for the Pacers. And there were a couple of plays that stick out in my mind that are just examples of the difference you see in the winning effort from the Pacers. One early in the game, there were a couple of long rebounds on the offensive end, which Thad Young chased down. These were on the same possession, and Thad was able to chase them down. Eventually led to a Jeff Teague three-pointer. And you know, essentially that's a five-point swing if you think the Jazz might get the rebound initially and score. So that loose ball that's out there, 50-50 ball, Pacers were on it. Another play in the first half, Paul George dove for a loose ball in front of Gordon Hayward, saved the ball, sent it the other way, got the Pacers going in transition. These are the things that for some reason don't always take place on the road. That, you know, gutty effort, that grind and do whatever you want, sense of urgency. You know, before the game, Nate McMillan spoke about how frustrating it is for him because he can't put a finger on why there's a difference on the road and at home. But it was all on display in this game, and they needed every bit of that energy against a Utah team that executes so well. They had to weather a career-high 38 points by Gordon Hayward, who was just on fire. And you can say, oh man, Paul George was lit up for 38 points. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I thought PG had a great defensive effort, and the whole team was pretty strong defensively. They do a good job executing, setting screens, getting Hayward free, and honestly, Hayward was just on fire. Scored 20 of his 38 in the first half. And, you know, didn't seem like he was going to miss for a while. Just a great scoring night from a guy who can light it up, as we know, whether it's been in high school, college, or now the pros. He's had big games in the Fieldhouse, and we know what he can do, and he put on a show for the hometown team. Paul George, you know, of course, that's the marquee matchup. He struggled from the floor. In fact, didn't score any points in the first half until about 3 minutes left. Got a couple of free throws. Those were his only points in the half. But Paul George would be heard from in this one and down the stretch. So many times this season in close games that the Pacers haven't won, or games where they've been trying to get into it. You know, there's been plenty of frustration over PG not rising up at winning time and making plays. But that was not the case in this one, as he was critical down the stretch, made a big three-pointer, and then after Hayward missed a long three, Paul George had the ball in his hands with a three-point lead and a chance to, you know, put the Pacers in charge. And with 18 seconds left, he sized up Hayward and buried a 20-foot two-pointer in his eye, and that would be the dagger. And as PG shredded back down the floor, hyped up with the Jazz calling timeout, he's exclaimed, "This is my city." And, you know, I think he no doubt realized that between Hayward and George Hill, Trey Lyles, even Shelvin Mack. There was a lot of talk about all the Hoosier connection coming into Indy, and he wanted to make sure that everyone knew this was his team, his town on this night, and got it done. Awesome to see that emotion after the game. He downplayed it. You know, he wouldn't admit what he said. People were asking him to clarify. Pretty obvious from looking at the video what he said. And he even said, yeah, I think there's video of it out there. So he didn't want to repeat it and, you know, stick it to those Utah guys anymore. But obviously pretty happy with the end result. PG did end up, you know, as I said, he had 2 points in the first half. Ended up with 19. Had 5 assists, 8 rebounds, and again, you know, was scrapping, and the full team defense was strong. As PG also mentioned, you know, dealing with Rudy Gobert, the big fella, and the way they set screens is just a load. And, you know, got to give credit to Miles Turner as well, coming off a rough night. He at least matched Gobert with 16 points. He also had, you know, 6 points and had 4 blocks. There were a few times where he was spooked around the rim, that's for sure, knowing that Gobert could swat anything if he didn't have him leaning the wrong way. So he was pretty cautious inside, but that was smart. You know, didn't make any dumb plays in there. And, in fact, a couple times passed out of what looked like point-blank shot attempts that, you know, Gobert may have been able to get to. So, you know, smart game by Turner. The Pacers really had to dig, though. Again, this was no easy game at home, and the Jazz have been tough. Pacers led from about the 5 minute, 6 minute mark of the first quarter. The lead kind of went back and forth early, and then the Pacers led the rest of the way. But that lead seemed to, you know, fluctuate between, you know, 8 and 2 points. The whole time, it seemed like whenever the Pacers got a little bit of a comfort zone, Jazz would make a run. The key run in the first half, Pacers were up 48-40 with about 2 minutes left, and the Jazz cut that lead down to 2 and seemed to have all the momentum, but Glenn Robinson III hit a running buzzer beater from about 35 feet to give the Pacers a 5-point lead. And, you know, looking back on the way this game played out, that was as big a shot as any to give the Pacers a little bit of momentum going into the half, because the Jazz came out really strong and got the game back down to 1 point pretty quickly. And then the Pacers went on another run. And then another key stretch late in the third quarter. Again, the Pacers had an 8-point lead. And with 2 minutes left in the third, McMillan put in, you know, his double plotter lineup, as Caitlin Cooper calls it, with LaVoy Allen and Al Jefferson. And this is when the team has struggled some. But Jefferson had a little bit of offensive mojo going on this night. He finished with 10 points. And the Pacers were able to hold their own. In fact, extend the lead to 10 points at that point. But then, of course, the Jazz made another run. And, you know, it just kept going kind of back and forth there. But, you know, the late run to get that lead down to 3, it seemed like the Pacers may just gag this one away. But as PG said, it was, you know, too good of an effort to let this game get away. And just seeing him step up and make those 5 big points down the stretch and really will the team to the win at the end was a beautiful sight for Pacers fans, that's for sure. So again, you know, the Jazz, they are a tough defensive team on the year. But they have been playing without Derek Favors, did not have him tonight. So they've been playing a little smaller with Joe Johnson starting at a power forward. And that actually is a pretty good matchup with the Pacers, since Thad Young is kind of a converted power forward himself. And, you know, that didn't hurt the Pacers, since the Jazz didn't have much of a post threat in there. They usually use Gobert rolling to the hoop, and when he rolls the hoop, he's a bear and a load. But Johnson didn't have a good night shooting the 3 overall. The Pacers outscored the Jazz from the 3-point line, making 10 of 20 threes, and that was a key, because the Jazz usually do plenty of damage from the 3-point line. Hayward made 3 of 6. But other guys struggled. Joe Johnson 0 for 4. George Hill 0 for 7. Joe Ingles 1 for 3. So those are guys that you know, on another night, could rise up and beat the Pacers and really did just that when the teams played in Utah. So having an advantage from the three-point line is certainly a bonus for the Pacers. They also fared better on the boards. Utah out-rebounded them 49-43, but the Pacers only turned the ball over 8 times in the game and made 21 of 23 free throws. So just one of those nights when they had what they need to get done to get a win against a good team. And again, Utah, without Favors in there, a little more susceptible. Their defense not quite as strong, and the Pacers were able to take advantage and move their record to 36-34 overall and remain in that sixth spot in the East. Now, the Atlanta Hawks lost, which pulled the Pacers within one game of the fifth spot. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. More importantly, Pacers are a game and a half ahead of Milwaukee in seventh, and now two full games ahead of Detroit and Miami. So a good night at the Fieldhouse and on the standings for the Pacers. Again, looking at the numbers, C.J. Miles didn't play a lot, was hot early, got pulled out, didn't really get back in, made 3 threes and had 15 points. Jeff Teague, really aggressive night, 21 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He made 3 of 4 threes. And then Al Jefferson mentioned him off the bench with 10 points. Monte Ellis played quite a bit down the stretch. He had 12 points. He had a great steal on Hayward in the first half as well. One of those hustle plays that, seemed to come in bunches tonight, which is nice. Hopefully they can take some of that to Boston for their matchup on Wednesday. As for the Jazz, of course, Hayward with 38 points and 3 rebounds. George Hill had a rough shooting night, still had 16 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. And it's kind of fitting for the Pacers to lock this game up when the Jazz were down 5 with 18 seconds to go. They got George Hill in the left corner, which is kind of his sweet spot when he played for the Pacers, trying to get a 3 up, but Miles Turner knew right where he'd be, swatted it, and Pacers were able to get the ball and eventually get another possession, and then Paul George sealed the deal with 2 free throws, put the Pacers up 7, and that would be it. And again, I mentioned without Favors, having Joe Johnson in that lineup, the Jazz really didn't have much off the bench as far as scoring goes. You know, Joe Ingles, a guy who can really light things up for him, only had 4 points. And Alex Burke had 9. Raul Neto, he had a couple layup opportunities in transition, one which Jeff Teague sized up and swatted, which was pretty impressive play. And again, another signature play in this game that showed the Pacers were doing whatever they had to do and making that extra effort to get things done on both ends of the floor. And another big block is becoming, seems like, one a game now, a signature play for Glenn Robinson, coming over to help and just going with the sky-high swat on the defensive end. It's almost as impressive as some of his dunks have been of late. And GR3 was able to get one of those as well to go along with his buzzer beater at the half to, you know, get the Pacers a little bit of a boost off the bench as he finished with 4 points and 3 rebounds in, you know, a little under 12 minutes. So, again, quality night at the Fieldhouse for the Pacers as they will move on to take on the Boston Celtics on Wednesday night. The Celtics were in action and took care of the Washington Wizards in a big matchup between two teams fighting for prime real estate in the East. Second and third spot, Celtics now have a 2.5 game lead for the second spot over the Wizards. But Pacers are going to have to take some of this mojo with them on the road for once. Paul George asked about that and, you know, talked about how after their loss in New York, thought they had a little turning point against Charlotte, but then that didn't seem to stick, and he thought, you know, maybe they should have a team meeting on the plane to Boston instead of the plane home and, you know, find something to get going. You know, you'd think at some point enough would be enough, and they'd be able to figure out a way to put it together and and put the effort out they do at the field house. So going to be a grind. Hopefully they can figure something out, because as PG said, where they're sitting in the playoffs now, they're going to have to find a way to win on the road, because they're not going to have home court advantage. So we'll see if they can do that on Wednesday night in Boston. For now, thanks for listening, and please share your thoughts on the games and what you think the Pacers may need to do on the road. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.